Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, 4-3 to go, and here we fucking go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England's tried on, and we'll face Ukraine in Rome. It's Wednesday, 30th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vinicius Antaraja.
Easy. Luke Moore, can I have a good in there?
Get in there!
Oh, it's always pleasing to keep a clean sheet, ladies and gentlemen.
A platform.
Start from the back and build.
Build, exactly. Oh, build.
Build, pun intended.
Another outlet's probably covering this game.
Ladies and gentlemen, England beat Germany 2-0. As if you didn't know.
Yep.
As if you didn't ruddy well know. Come on. Come on.
This is great stuff.
We dicked them.
How's your aunt, by the way?
Oh, she's gone. She's not gone.
She's gone.
She's dead.
You seem quite pleased about it.
Oh, dearie me. It's only the second round. We're in the quarterfinals.
Good job we're not among the players, isn't it? Fuck it. Find a late doors pub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rome, nah. We only play at Wembley. Yeah. So we'll forfeit the game. We got what we came for. Mm. My goodness. England beat Germany for the first time since 2016.
Yep.
Eric Dier got the winner, lest we forget.
Has anyone checked on Eric? He's having a lovely time, I expect.
Oh, I'd assume
the rest of us.
I hope he's off his rocker right now.
Yeah.
I'd be loving
just
it.
Just loving it, yeah.
But not loving it quite as much as if he was there, sadly, because that's the player's lot. But we did see Jesse Lingard enjoying it in the pub, didn't we?
Back
in the
Jay Lings.
Did he have his little parrot? Oh, do you mean back at that?
Yeah, that's what I haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
Him or the parrot. Yeah, the parrots are quite difficult to identify. They all look quite similar.
Sure.
First time in a knockout game since 1966. Have we waited a long time for this?
Well, we haven't
waited it.
We weren't alive for a lot of that.
No. Well, I was alive for all but 14 years of it.
Can I make a plea to all the mainly the BBC and ITV?
Yeah.
No more Euro 96.
It's done now.
Yeah, please.
It's done. Yeah. They should never show it again.
No.
We've had enough of it.
Yeah, we really
The younger
have.
People don't care, and the older people are sick of
but
it.
Do you know what? It was so funny how when people go, but I can't believe that, you know, Henderson, for example, didn't know what happened in 1990, or yeah. Saka didn't know what happened in 2000 or whatever, and all this. Kind of, well, think of it, if we were players,
yeah.
and you were, I don't know, in a qualifying for a World Cup, and you go, are you a bit worried? Because... Yeah. Didn't qualify in 74 and 78.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Didn't we? Oh, right. Okay.
People are confused about why those players don't care. Do you know what time is? It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's because, like, a lot of the people, that inner child in yeah. you, you've lived that experience and you yeah. think, well, these people are representing us on the pitch.
Yeah.
Surely you remember 10 years before you were born. Yeah. What happened? I mean, even if they've seen the footage, they don't have the lived experience of it, so it's not as profound.
I think it does pay to be aware. I haven't said what I've said. It does pay to be aware of the tradition and why it means so much to certain people, just
sure.
because they you can own the occasion a little bit better and process it and be able to kind of, you know, put it to one side. Like, that's why this is more important, because otherwise you'd be a bit like, well, why would I care? So you are going to have to be involved to an extent, because you need to be able to tap into it. But at the same time, you still got to play the game.
You do. Well, we accused England of maybe not caring enough, perhaps in the Scotland game, but in this game, as Luke says, of this, you've got to be aware of the occasion, but let that push you forward and not sort of let you sort of toss and turn in the wind of it all, because England have done that before,
yeah,
and been overawed by the occasion, and with 40,000 in Wembley, an amazing atmosphere.
Well, Vish was one of them, by the way.
Vish was one of them.
Yeah,
top off.
Yeah, yeah.
Trousers
exactly.
Off.
Amazing, you got your match report in, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You can be, as I say, you can be overwhelmed by that. And the players, you saw, you know, Harry Kane slightly emotional after the game in one of the interviews. You know, they haven't played in front of a crowd for a long time. So there's a lot going on. But they seem to, as we say, manage the game for it quite well.
Yeah. Excuse me. It's been really interesting how Southgate has actually, or rather what he's chosen to use as fuel for the players. Now, one of the things that's been more pronounced is, I suppose, how he's used the pandemic in the way that he's talked a lot about what England victories do to the country as a whole, how it makes people feel, how tournament football makes people feel. And so what he did take away from Euro 96 was the fact that there was such a good feeling around the country, which is why old codgers like us go on about it. And the other aspect of it is he's really somehow, and I suppose good managers do this, he's wedded the idea that, I suppose, emotion can go with responsibility.
Yes.
With tactical responsibility, for instance. And the way that they will get frustrated with you. They'll get frustrated with you in understandable ways. We all feel it when we watch football. Sometimes we think when someone's holding something back in anything, really, we get a bit frustrated. And yesterday, they couldn't have executed that plan that they've been building towards any better, I thought. And I think it came from passion, really. I came from an understanding that this is the game, and well, rather from now on, these are the games that we need to just thrive in, really. And it was incredible to watch. I'm not gonna lie, the opening 12 minutes were a bit of a mess.
But that goes with Germany knowing their system and England.
Yeah.
Because I've not been a fan of the 3-4-3, to be honest with you. They've been quite vocal against it, and I've not been sure of England having two in the middle. And I've sort of thought, you know, Rice is a good player at Premier League and Phillips is a good player at Premier League. I have to say that they surprised me very pleasantly. But I was a little bit concerned.
Yeah, totally. I always view a 3-4-3 as 5-3-2 with better PR.
Yeah, I know what you
mean. Just because of the way it can go. You're like, no, you didn't play a 3-4-3. I know you've done
that. But the way you clearly wanted to approach it was he wanted to say, let's match them up.
Yes.
We've played this in the past. We can't know how it works. It won't take long for us to work at it in training because the guys will be comfortable with it. And if we match them up, we're the home team. Mm-hmm. We've got the momentum. We've got the great defensive record, and we feel we have better players.
Yes,
it stops them playing because I think he didn't want Germany, who did have more of the ball yesterday and have had more of the ball than England, I think, generally, he didn't want them to be able to have the time to to create too much. And so if you can smother them and swamp them, I do agree, I think the first 10 or 15 minutes was a bit of a shit show and I was actually quite concerned. But once they settled in, it felt strangely calm. Now, I know Germany had chances, but you have to maintain the perspective.
So did England, though.
They did. And I talked a lot, didn't I, last week about how England were looking to control games and how they were trying to do it. That doesn't mean, realistically, outside of a, you know, an absolute mismatch in an early round of an FA Cup, you're not going to stop a team like Germany having chances.
No.
Like, you can say what you like about them going stale under Yogi Love. You can say what you like about how it's the end of a cycle for them. A lot of those players have won the Champions League recently.
When also, again, just
and they're always going to have chances.
But against France, you know, we praised France for that 1-0 win against Germany. Thought, my goodness, they look like the best side in the tournament, blah, blah, blah. But Germany still had a couple of chances.
Yes, they did. Absolutely.
So you're absolutely right. And they knocked four past Portugal.
Yeah. And I absolutely.
And two past Hungary.
Yeah, quite. Well, they not too past hungry, or they just want to scrape it with their fingernails, manage to grab a goal from
somewhere.
Seems
ages ago, that.
Yeah,
it
does. Yeah, it's all irrelevant now, of course, all academic. But I do think you're right. I think there's always a fear. I think because we've watched England fairly closely, we've watched them for a long time. There is inherently a fear, particularly. I'm not quite sure if you feel the same way, Vish, but Marcus and I, we don't like to see a two in midfield for England.
No,
we don't like to see it. But then Germany are playing it, and I actually thought Goretzka had a pretty good game.
Yeah, he did.
But the standout individual performances for England, which really peppered and seasoned the whole of the team performance, was, you know, look at Declan Rice. He grew into the game after he got booked.
Yeah.
You don't really want both your central midfield players to be booked.
No.
But he took responsibility so well. And the way he was able to channel almost like, you know, iron fist and a velvet glove type brutality, but being total control of it.
I was so impressed with
Rice. Incredible.
He completely won me over yesterday. Not that... If you see what I mean, in terms of that stage and against those opponents, people can say, oh, well, it's Germany, they're not as good as a... He's playing against Kroos in the centre there, you know, like these are seasoned
heads,
pros,
yeah.
You know, and Rice really stepped up, because I have been a little bit vocal at times saying he's a good Premier League player, but on that stage, and again, it's still only England are only in the quarter final now. There's big matches hopefully matches coming up, but I thought he was excellent in there. And Phillips, Vish, provides a certain something in that midfield. I mean, that moment where Trippier was in on, who was it? I can't remember. Was it Kroos maybe himself? Or I forget who. It was a little bit of a tussle. And Phillips just comes over. Oh, no, it was Havertz, I think. Phillips comes over.
That was right in front of me.
Yeah, and Phillips comes over and goes, don't worry, son, I've got this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Knocks the ball out of play, gives Havertz a bit. And you saw the interaction then with Trippier and Phillips. You see that team cohesion. Phillips has gone, nice one, pal. And there's a kind of, I've got your back sort of mentality. Mm. And England had that all over the pitch, I thought.
Yeah, so it's really interesting how, if you think of the build-up to this team, we talk about Southgate and the under-21s and also the plans England put in place so that we could have this crop of technically gifted players. One of the things that Southgate has been really keen not to lose is that physicality.
Yes.
Paul Hayward, you know, the great sports writer, he tweeted today that when Terry Venables, obviously another 96 reference.
Here we go.
But Venables was always talking about how the game is going to develop, but the thing it shouldn't lose, the thing English football shouldn't lose is the physicality element, because it is actually what we're good at. And I thought it was remarkable yesterday. So Phillips, I think he's standout by maybe like 10 or 15 as England's most effective like interceptor and tackler.
Yes.
I felt like he was everywhere yesterday. And yet at the same time, I can't remember him making a tackle, if that makes sense. Yeah. And that was a great example of that. And I think one of the things he did really well yesterday with Walker, remarkably, it was only something that I noticed because I was sat in the first half where we were, I was at the right back position, essentially. Every now and again, him and Walker would swap when the ball was on the other side, not just to give Phillips, you know, a bit of room to kind of work on the ball, But also like every now and again for a breather where they thought, right, yeah, you cotch back here, I'll go into the centre. We've seen Walker do that before for Manchester City, obviously. And I thought, to a man, there was this understanding of just, I suppose, fundamentally looking out for each other.
Yeah,
and I saw it so much with the back three.
Yeah.
Every time Werner had his back to goal, he was up against one of Stones or Maguire. Every time Havertz was challenging in the air, he was up against one of Stones or Maguire. Any time someone got behind him, Walker was on them like a fucking shot.
Yeah.
And it was like any motherfucker who dares to use their legs against him.
But do you not think, though, the fact is that England teams in years gone by, they're obviously There was a bit of a fixation about the sort of the talisman and who's going to lead us through. And the fans have tried to get that going with, say, someone like Grealish, who obviously played his part. And Southgate has been very good at holding that back, if you see what I mean. So it seems like there's more sort of, if you will, equality, if you know what I mean, in the team. So therefore it lends itself.
Yeah.
And to that kind of interchanging and play.
It's also got a practical implication as well. But before I say that, just quickly, I thought that was Maguire's best performance in the English shirt yesterday. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. I haven't watched him as closely as you would have had for Man United vision. I've had my doubts about him in the past, but I thought he was absolutely immense. I'm not just saying it because he got man of the match officially. I thought he was ridiculously good.
Yeah.
So good. And that three, obviously, him on the left of that three suited him down to the ground. He could bring the ball out when he wanted to. He was strong. I mean, he'll be disappointed about the chance he had, but other than that, he was absolutely flawless. But on the team mentality, it's really important, not just because of the things you've said, what's happened in the past with England, which I completely agree with, but also because it's about managing a tournament. It's about squad freshness. Mm-hmm. It's about the idea that if you look at the other teams that are still in this tournament, bearing in mind that every team from the so-called group of death is now out,
right,
every team has looked, to an extent, a little bit leggy. Why is Spain conceding three goals? Mm. Well, essentially, fitness is directly, and fatigue is directly related to the ability to keep clean sheets. In the tournament, you will lose goals if you are not at your peak concentration or you make mistakes. And at the top level, mistakes are linked to tiredness inextricably. Mm-hmm. So the fact that England have been able to keep their squad so fresh and been able to keep so many clean sheets is not a coincidence, and it's a huge part of it. And if you look at how France did it in 2018... They kept withdrawing Griezmann early on, keep him fresh. And he was key for them in the final stage.
Did they regret that in Switzerland, do you think?
Well, maybe they did. but I think there's a lot of similarities between them, as someone else mentioned, I forget who it was now. There's a lot of similarities with Kane. In the first group stages, they kept withdrawing him. Mm. Keep him fresh, try and keep him sweet. There's players to come back now in England's, as far as England's concerned, Mount, Foden, Grealish can come in again.
Henderson getting minutes is encouraging.
None of those players are going to be tired. Mm. And did you see, we'll come on to this, but did you see how tired Sweden and Ukraine were? Yeah. You know, it's a massive part of it.
But we thought it was about Croatia in 2018, so mind how we go
with
that.
But England weren't managing the tournament in 2018. Well, okay. They weren't in control of it.
Okay.
Well, because of what happened in 2018, it's the reason everything has been so meticulous this time. And also, on the just to back up Luke's point, bear in mind, like, Maguire came into this tournament with huge doubt.
Well,
the way they've got him back to full fitness, got him up to speed, is you know, sterling effort.
And also as well, I think what Southgate does is with all the players, and this is a real, really difficult thing to do, and with an extra three players, 26 in the squad, it's even more difficult, is to keep everyone engaged and to make everyone feel that they're relevant, if you see what I mean. You saw the reaction of the substitutes when England scored. Phil Foden was loving it.
Yeah.
Well, Foden could be thinking, wait, I started the first game.
Yeah.
I played in a Champions League final not that long ago. Yeah. Hang on. This lad from Aston Villa's coming off the bench. Now, I don't think he would think like that because I think he's probably more intelligent than that. Do you know what I mean? Blah, 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 blah. But they are human beings. They want to play. They want to be involved.
It's a fair point to make because we've heard about factions in the England squad before, over and over again.
But to keep everybody interested. And so, say, look at someone like Mings again. Mings was one of the first ones to smother Kane when he scored that second.
Yeah.
Mings could think, well, hang on a minute.
Don't smother him.
Don't do that, But he could think to himself, well, hang on, I've played well my two games. This guy's a bit injured. He's come back now. Obviously, he couldn't complain with the way Maguire played. But that sort of, you talk about the squad freshness, squad harmony, Vish.
Yeah.
Is the
because
second
they're
album.
Winning games. Because they're winning games and because they're not conceding goals.
I mean, there's obviously that as well.
Southgate said it himself, didn't he? We know we make this decision tactically and we pick this team, and if we don't win, we're dead.
Yeah.
He said that.
He's absolutely right.
But they did win.
We feared that, didn't we? That this, if it goes wrong, I mean, before the game, people, all this talk of, oh, well, there's seven defensive players and there's three attacking players. I think that is a little bit silly to kind of word it and shape it like that. But I suppose it is a reasonably fair opinion to kind of chop it up like that, although I think it's slightly unhelpful. But people would have been very disappointed to see Mount, a little bit more understandable, let's use that word again, because of the COVID regulations. But the likes of Foden and Grealish and Sancho and even Bellingham on the bench, you think to yourself, well, come on. But then they go out there and just be patient, because this side, more than any other England side I've seen for years, seem to have a strategy and a purpose as well. It's not just back at a fag packet kind of stuff. And the lessons seem to have been learned, or at least are being learned.
Yeah. And I think the game management is really important there, because during that opening period where they were genuinely quite dreadful, I'm quite keen to watch it back because it felt awful being there.
It did.
But get away with that.
The TV,
but don't concede then.
Yeah. Okay. And so there was a moment. The moment it completely flipped was Kai Osaka gets the ball on the German touchline, and he goes into wins the foul. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, England realised, right, we've got a free kick deep in their half. This is the opportunity for a chance on goal potentially if we get the cross right. But also, start again. Let's all move up now.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, it's got to happen over there.
Yeah.
Let's move up. Let's shake off the last 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And from then on, they were just immaculate, really.
I always think it's much... It's not a really kind of scientific point, but I always think you can pick up the flow of a game and you can get nervous if you're playing too much of the game in your own half.
Definitely.
Yeah,
you can look like you're in control, you can keep hold of the ball, you can pass it out from the back and the rest of it. But I feel like if you're playing the lion's share of the game in your own half, it's just not a good thing.
And that
was the first 15 minutes all over, but you're absolutely right. Once I got through that, mm-hmm. you thought, actually... For me, and this is more a point for me as a viewer rather than the team, who, like I say, I think I said it in the build-up, I don't think England give a shit about the German history thing, particularly with the youth of the players we've got. But for me, it was almost a bit like, okay, look at the players. They are good players. I've said they're good players. They've won Champions League. But I was actually disappointed when Werner came off. Do you know what I mean? Because I thought, well, Werner at the moment, he can't take a chance.
Yeah.
So I'd rather he stayed on. Mm-hmm. He buzzes around everywhere, and he's difficult to pick up, and he's a good player. And I think he'll come really good at Chelsea at some point. You know, I've seen him in the flesh. He's a really exciting player to watch. But at the moment, it's a fact. He can't take a chance.
Yeah.
So fucking leave him on, as far as I'm concerned. It wasn't a case of I was terrified of all the German players just because I backed our players so much.
Yeah.
And that's a massive... almost like culture shift in watching England.
Yeah.
And it means an awful lot because of the record that we've had in knockouts in the past. You said that it's been terrible.
Awful,
it has been.
Awful.
So it was fascinating to see almost like a complete change in mentality, not just from the team, but like among the viewing public as well. Apart from the ones who I think are still being massively impatient. Some of the coverage I thought after the game, particularly on the radio, I was listening to it at home, was still a little bit kind of, you don't get this. Like, you don't get this.
Yeah.
You've played football at a professional level. Good for you. You played in the 80s or the 90s. Mm-hmm. You don't get what he's doing here.
No.
You're still saying things like, well, he should have started Grealish because look at the effect he had. That's not the point.
No.
The point is you're supposed to control the game. Mm-hmm. You get to the last 20 minutes and you think, okay, here we go now. Mm. Bring him on. Pull the people apart. They're tired. Find more space for sure because Grealish comes in and gives him the room.
Yeah.
And it happens. It wouldn't have happened in the first 20 minutes because that's not how it works normally. That's why he's done what he's done. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's fine not to agree with it, but don't act like you don't get it.
Well, you're absolutely right, Luke. And it's a case of if you're under the cosh, then don't bloody concede.
Yeah.
And look, let's be honest. England got away with one when Werner went through. That was a chance. That was a good chance. And Pickford, who has been magnificent, by the way.
He absolutely has,
You know, he's been... Yeah.
He made two fantastic saves.
You could maybe even argue he's been England's best player of the tournament. I mean, some may not agree with that, but he's certainly been brilliant. And the passion, desire and focus that he brings, I mean, he looks a completely different entity to what he does at Everton, although I think Ancelotti's probably helped that.
Has there ever been a bigger moment in a game between England and Germany in recent years when Müller goes for a misses?
Well,
that point you're like,
that's our day.
Yeah.
It's our day.
Yeah.
And also...
Yeah, so much of the game to aim at, Vish.
He did. He did. Yeah. Because
wasn't great from Pickford, by the way.
No, because Pickford was clearly trying to commit as late as possible and ended up not committing to either side.
Yes.
And because he didn't commit to either side, he's off balance. So there were basically three options, left, right, and over him.
Yeah.
And the court, like, Müller took the right option, but he didn't need to be as precise, really.
He pushed it wide by like a foot and a half. Like, for a top player, that's a long way wide.
When he was running through, I felt this feels like such a, like, obviously typical journo thinking of it like this, but it felt like such a narrative arc of, you know, him coming back into the team, you know, having so many issues at Bayern Munich and Germany, and then just, you know, sweeping them all away with this quality. I thought this is going to be his moment. I've got to say, though, I totally agree with you about the coverage, but I think the other thing about this England squad is they have something for everyone, because the noise when Jack Grealish came on yesterday, it was like the fucking Rock at WrestleMania. Honestly.
You've never heard anything like it.
I've not heard anything like it. Because just for one man, for one man who hasn't actually done much in an England shirt at all, who is this saviour, who's been anointed the saviour of the people. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was such an incredible moment, but it is something that the England players also embrace. If you look at all the social media videos and Grealish does brilliant things, they're going giddy over him.
Yeah.
And that noise, I feel like it might have been counterproductive for another group of players, maybe in another era.
Yeah.
But there was something about it that felt like, No, this is it. We're like, we get it.
And that's the difference between when I talk about, not Marcus and I have mentioned it a lot in the past, you talk about this talismanic type player. England fans have always looked towards mm-hmm. that type of player. But we're not saying that we don't want those kind of players, that yeah. we don't need those yeah. kind of players. We're talking about how, yes, it's great to have those players, yeah. but don't start him every single game, 50 games in a row, when totally. He's had a terrible club form,
yep.
and then moan at him when he's not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Use him properly, which mm-hmm. is what's happening, and that's why yeah. it's working so well.
Well, also, and when was the best time to introduce him? When Germany getting a bit tired, when the game is just beginning perhaps to open up. And he was instrumental in that. I mean, him and Shaw linking very nicely down the left. I mean, Luke Shaw had a great game as well. There were so many very, very good individual performances. I mean, the way he won the ball, was it Goosens, or I forget who he tackled in the centre of the pitch, which set them off. I mean, that was your gegenpress right there. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
win
yeah.
the ball high up and they were away.
Yeah.
I mean, when the first goal went in, though, it was just, I just thought, hang on, here we go. And Sterling again. And Sterling was, I thought, was really good yesterday. And I don't know what he's got to do to convince some people. Although, Luke, you're not.
You're looking at me when he says that. Well, I just think that I think the positive coverage of him has been probably a little bit overplayed. Not because I don't think he's done well. Obviously, he's made big contributions. Mm-hmm. He made a big contribution yesterday. He's, you know, he scored goals before today in this yesterday in this tournament. I do get the impression, though, and actually, do you know what? It's partly because he's the type of player he is, that he always takes responsibility. He wants the ball, and I've got no doubt at all about his ability or anything like that. And I could totally see the Germans fearful of him like yesterday. But I would like to see him move the ball a bit quicker. I'd like to see him make a decision a bit quicker. And sometimes I think when the build-up's going through, England are already slow because of what we've talked about in the past. He doesn't make the decision quick enough. And I haven't seen the stats. I would have thought he's given the ball away probably, or been caught in possession probably more than any other England player yesterday.
Well, there was one particular moment.
And there you go.
Yeah.
His reaction was something else.
In fact, yeah, no, exactly. In fact, it's just an extension of the conversation we're having anyway. The idea that with England fans, with England, someone's either brilliant or they're shit, right? It's either massively over the top or it's like, get him out the team, right? And I'm just saying with Sterling, I think there's more to come from him, and I think there'd be more to come from him if he was to make a decision a bit quicker. But that's not to say he didn't play well.
But he running at the German defence was actually at times what England needed.
Sometimes I concede that.
Kane scored, and we haven't mentioned Kane that much, and there's only a certain amount of time, but Kane did look leggy, and it was, the concerns are still there with Kane, but hopefully the goal goes in and it kind of lift off.
But it also gives him, so I always think with Kane at international level, I talked about it before, he's like Rob Gronkowski for the Patriots, right? He's not always being used to actually be used. Mm-hmm. He's a decoy,
yeah,
right? Because the amount of times he was doubled up yesterday, and my point is just, and these two points link between Kane and Sterling, if you'll forgive me, sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to say that if they double up on Kane, they're scared of Kane because they know he's arguably the best striker in the world, right? There's no point then, if Germany are going to do that against England, there's no point not exploiting that by moving the ball quickly. These things are linked.
Well, and therefore he doesn't move that much because he thinks, well, I'll stay here and I'm
occupying people. Yeah, I'm on the shoulder. I'm keeping it physical. I think if you put Kane up against Hummels and you play in a certain way where you get it in the mixer over and over again, sorry to use that horrible phrase, Kane's going to absolutely destroy Hummels. He's going to have no dinner money left. But England don't play like that. England don't play like that. So you just have to be satisfied that he's going to occupy two of those three centre-backs, and that's a big bonus.
I don't think it can be argued that Kane is knackered or injured or whatever. He's clearly running on fumes. But also yesterday, as Luke said, we saw what it is to run on reputation.
Yeah.
Even for the layoff that led to the first England goal, He had his back to goal. He was on the edge of the box and they were like a yard off him.
Yeah.
Because even in their mind, they thought, he could roll us here. If he could get this one.
It's like you on a Sunday, Mark, about an hour in. Defenders are thinking he could go both ways here.
They used to think that.
There was a moment, the end of the first half where he got the ball, took a few touches, bounced a couple of players off and then got taken down by Ginter, I think. And it was the most Kane I've seen him in the tournament because I thought it was almost like something awoke in him. Mm. And we never saw it again in the game. Mm. But it was a moment where the way he was taken down as well, I thought, like, yeah, okay, that he's nowhere near the Kane of the season just gone, but they think he is.
And that's important. That's absolutely crucial. And I think with the header he scored, it was a real relief because he had that chance in the last game. He didn't take it.
Well, the chance at the end of the first half as well.
Yeah, exactly. Awful, he took an extra touch. It was a poor touch. Because you think with Kane, you think, his finishing is automatic. You don't even think about it.
Yeah.
If he, when he gets the ball just outside the area, shifts it and shoots, it's a goal.
Yeah.
He comes on either side, cuts inside, it's a goal. And for him missing those chances earlier, you think, God, but the fact that the ball came in and he put it away, now you'll see what happens. And I hope he's obviously going to play every game. I hope he can be as occupying of the defenders as he has been in the past, because at least that gives us an opportunity.
Absolutely right. Gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
Do we have to?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe, and this is the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have a bit of Jermaine on there.
How's he getting it?
Oh.
Jermaine Defoe on the show.
Yeah.
Amazing scenes.
Dean Saunders sent it in. right, let's see how we got on in Betway's four to score across the Euros this summer. There's £250,000 up for grabs across five rounds of four to score, and it's completely free to play. Just pick the first goal scorer in each of Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win £50,000 each round. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game one, it was Belgium versus Portugal. Vish picked Romelu Lukaku. It was, of course, Torgan Hazard. Game two, Croatia.
A good one.
game two, Croatia versus Spain. Pete picked Alvaro Morata. He did score, but it wasn't the first goal.
So
first,
close.
So close. Well, it was about the eighth goal, wasn't it?
You're right, you might pick Alvaro Morata for anything, by the way.
The result was Pablo Sarabia. That was because the own goal didn't count. So yeah. It then goes to the next goal, if you like.
To Simon's great relief.
Blimey, yeah, absolutely. Game three, France versus Switzerland. Andy picked Kylian Mbappe. The result was, of course, Mr. Seferovic for Switzerland.
Andy not having a great tournament, is he?
No, he's not.
It's first Turkey and now this. Back in Mbappe.
What did I tell you? Fraud of the tournament. Yeah, Andy Russell.
Big time.
Mbappe.
Rabiot's mother certainly agrees with you. game four, England versus Germany. Kate picked Harry Kane. He did score, but of course Raheem Sterling got the first goal. So 0 out of 4. Our best so far in the tournament, I think, has been 1 out of 4. So we'll be back again. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply for the old four to score. You've got to be 18 plus. Do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. We will be back for the final round of four to score tomorrow.
Exciting.
It is very exciting. What's also exciting, it's an email jingle from Chris Roger.
I don't want to go there, but I got nothing else to do, so I'm going to email show at footballramble.com. I don't want to go there, but I
not a shitty song. It's a very good song.
Yeah, self-deprecating.
I've got a very good...
Sorry about that.
Do you want another one?
Marcus has got... Do you have a fat finger there?
I don't even... I just sort of wafted my hand over the thing and it...
Magic.
Getting quite greedy, aren't you?
Go on,
greedy.
Vish. Go on, Vish.
Jake Brown. Just emailing in after the leisure centre feeling of the England camp at St George's Park. What's the hairdresser situation there? As Hazard Maguaza can barely see, possibly contributing to his miss from 8 yards early on. And Pickford looks like he's in the human league.
He does.
I expect a close-up of his boots may reveal if this is on purpose or not. I suspect he might have kept the synth pop new wave electronica on. I'm Scottish and have now finished polishing the 0-0 cup, hence getting in touch regarding English players' hair. We've got, as Luke pointed out before we started recording the show, he might have a cup final to look forward to in a couple of weeks.
Well, you took stitching me up. I just said the Scottish cup final will be here before we know it. That's
exactly.
All.
That was like the other day, right in among like the draw for the second round or whatever it was, Sky Sports saying, and of course, in a few Saturdays' time, it'll be Rangers versus... It's not now.
No, I flicked on Sky Sports News the other day in the morning, just was having my breakfast, and the first thing I saw was Livingston's first six fixtures. It's like, you are really struggling for this because the terrestrial TV has got all the big stories at the moment.
They love it.
I was going to say, Harry Maguire better not listen to the show, because I'll tell you what, he puts that performance in yesterday, and the first thing he's going to hear about him, well, after we chatted about him, is going to be Jake Brown, a Scottish fan, talking about how shit his hair is and the fact that he missed a header.
Well, I think he's concerned. Harsh, tough crowd. I think he's concerned. Yeah. He's saying that actually you don't get the hair in the eyes.
I don't know what Pickford's doing with his barnet. It's mad.
I quite like it.
I think it's all right.
I think he has to.
It's actually similar to yours.
It's not that similar.
He's gelled us a bit.
He's gelled.
Yeah, he's trying.
Yeah. Don't stand for it, Marcus.
No, don't worry.
I think what it is with Pickford, because, you know, we always talk about the rave one, but he has been a bit calmer, but I think he needs to house his psychoticness somewhere, and he decided it's going to be in his barn.
Fair enough. As long as he stops, you know, he's the problem with Pickford in the past, he's a busy bastard. Mm. He's not been busy apart from making saves and distributing the ball this time. So that's fine by me so far. That Danny Chadburn's been in touch saying, seeing the sorry sight of Kylian Mbappe trudging off the pitch on Monday night after his penalty nightmare got me thinking of ways to avoid the torture that is the penalty shootout. Now, don't roll your eyes at this. I know we get a lot of these types of emails, but this is genuinely an original idea. Okay, so bear with me. Danny goes on to say, my proposal to the powers that be is that if no team emerges victorious after 120 minutes, then they both go through as an amalgamated squad. 13 players from each nation proceed to the next round, making the 26-man squad. And if it happens again, the squads just keep on combining into a mega mash-up side. Imagine the scenes of an Anglo-German side versus the Franco-Swiss in a final. Yeah. Fans of multiple nations coming together under one flag to support the hybrid team. It's a foolproof plan.
Yes, it really is.
Is it the end of international football, though, as we know it?
Who's the manager?
Wow, good point. They flip a coin, but they have an arm wrestle for that.
Okay.
Southgate against Love. Don't arm wrestle with Love. You don't know where his hand's been. Gloves.
The fiend, that absolute fiend was at it again, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Cheeky little nose dig. It was quite a subtle one. It was almost like he put it on the outside of his nose so he knew that he didn't have to dig deeper.
It's the tasting I don't like.
I think he knew that his time as Germany manager was up.
One last one for the dick.
Cameras.
Yeah.
He enjoys the attention.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, show at footballramble.com to get your proposals in, I suppose.
I actually thought that was worthy of conversation.
Worthy of conversation.
But the show can't last forever, so we've got to carry on.
They could also enter the FA Cup and win league points, couldn't they?
Oh, God.
I was thinking, who should be the manager of the side? But surely it would be the Dutch guy who managed Chelsea for a bit and South
Goose
Korea.
Hiddink.
Yeah, it'd be Goose Hiddink. That's a job for him, isn't it? Get big Goose in there. It was Yogi Love's final game in charge of Germany, which is... She's quite mad. He was 15 years at the helm, of course.
It's an incredible effort. It really is. I mean, it's ended in a way that he wouldn't have liked, but I mean, ultimately, what do they say? Every political career ultimately ends in failure. Maybe it's the same for a manager as well.
He did say the English side scored on their first opportunity. We didn't. I mean, it's not quite true. It was difficult. We would have had turned the match round after the chance of Müller. Then they scored the second. Could have won a sugar.
Yeah.
But that is,
I mean, it is absolutely the time to be smug about that.
Yeah.
And we are doing that. But it is actually, again, feeding back into the stuff we've been talking about.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you understand that big rivalry games in knockout stages of tournaments are settled on these moments, why would you not
want to be in control of the game as much as possible. And the only downside is a load of people who don't really understand football, despite having watched it all their lives, will complain a bit. Then you just do it, because that's the most important thing to do. You want to win games. Gareth Southgate isn't going to... He's been there and done the glorious failure thing. He's over that now. Right? He doesn't want to go through that again. Mm. He doesn't want to chuck the best 11 on and go, let's see how we get on, and we might lose 3-2 after extra time to Germany or penalties or whatever. He wants to say, we've got the players, we can do this. Mm-hmm. And so Love is basically, with that statement, playing into this. I mean, it's a very one-eyed way of looking at it, but then he's the manager of Germany, so he's going to say that. These things do rest and ride on these tiny little margins. Mm. And Müller goes through it 1-0 and he scores. It's 1-1. The momentum's then with Germany. Then what happens? Then we find out a bit more about the England team. How can they deal with it?
Well, completely.
It's all valid.
But, and also as well, Yogi Love has fostered a great spirit in the Germany side over the years.
Up to a point.
Up to the World Cup in Russia, of course. And of course it's ended in disappointing fashion. But again, it's that spirit. There's the belief there. And he thinks, well, actually, had we have taken our chances, we'd have gone through. And he will believe that. And there is an argument to be made that, you know, again, England did have a couple of moments of luck. There's no doubt about that. As did Germany up until the two goals, of course. But anyway, the bigger picture is that Yogi Love will no longer be on the sideline having it all...
Having a little dig.
Do you think he'd become a DJ? A little bit of scratching.
But I mean, that's scratch and sniff.
That's the thing about Yogi Love as a coach. He was never afraid to get his hands dirty, was he?
It's true.
Always just getting involved, just mucking in.
Roll his sleeves up because of all the bogeys.
I don't name them.
But you know,
when the shit was being flung, he just grabbed a load of it, didn't he?
Put it in his mouth. The other thing I would say, just to
rest we're going to miss him. We are going to miss him.
I'm sure he'll pop up again somewhere.
We up?
Yeah. I don't want to think about the places he pops up at, to be fair. What I would say on the margins and on the mistakes and everything, I'll just keep going while you two sort yourselves out. That, you know, you talk about Germany having chances and England riding their luck. Well, by my reckoning now, and we can't get ahead of ourselves, there's still a few games to go. If England continue to press to the tournament, there's games to go, and it's not done yet. And we've established that, and the team and the manager have said the same thing. But so far, England have been quote unquote lucky or had lucky moments against Scotland, against Czech Republic, and now against Germany. Yeah. Right? It's not a coincidence. Mm. You know, as Jack Nicholas said, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Mm. You know, you keep driving forward. You understand, we said at the very top of the show, Germany aren't the team they were, but they're a good team.
Yeah.
They're going to have chances. You don't stop a team of that quality not having any chances at all. Yeah. Or at least it's very rare. So we have to keep proceeding through in that way, and we have to understand that the luck side of things is something that's now on our side, perhaps because we're a bit more in control. Mm-hmm.
But of course it'll be Ukraine in the next round, Vic.
It will.
Who beat Sweden 2-1. I mean, it's a great win for Ukraine. I mean, the scenes at the end of that game were quite something. Andrei Shevchenko absolutely loving it, as he should do. He's scoring in this 121st minute, where after the sending off, obviously Ukraine suddenly were on the front foot and they became favourites for it. Was it Dovbyk's first goal for Ukraine? I think it was. You know, not a bad time to get it. But the whipped cross into the danger area, met
ball
by a lovely header, seems to be a bit of a theme in these Euros, which we're all enjoying. Certainly Switzerland are, and Ukraine, but it was a glorious goal. But to be honest with you, up until the sending off, I thought Sweden were getting the better of it. And Emil Forsberg, I mean, my goodness,
your man.
What a player he's been in this tournament. Obviously, the first one was deflected, but the two efforts he had, one off the post and one off the bar, Sweden will be disappointed that they didn't go through, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. We were having quite a robust discussion before coming on air about the legitimacy of that red card, and it was... You know, it's quite unfortunate, but
I'm still undecided whether I thought it was a red. And some people,
and I think you're right to be, because I think, you know,
some people will think that's ridiculous and go, "Look at what happened to the man's leg." And I get that, but I didn't think it was a challenge. I thought it was a clearance, and then the attacker comes in quite quickly.
Yeah,
but then he did nearly break his leg.
I think to me, it looked to me like the type of challenge or clearance you make where you know you're going to just leave yourself in there.
And
I'm not saying that he meant to hurt him or anything like that, or there was any malice in it. I think there was...
So it's dangerous play then?
Ultimately, the referee has assessed that it's reckless, right? Mm. And Jonas Olsen, I think it was on the radio and saying that he's played with him and he knows the kid well, and he said he'll be devastated, you know, all the usual stuff that players say.
Sure.
But ultimately, if the referee has assessed that it's reckless, or he's you know, that he's not in control. There's precedent for this. Was it Ogbonna for West Ham who got sent off for the same thing? Or someone at West Ham was sent off for exactly the same thing in the season just gone, and everyone went mad about it. But ultimately, a referee's first job is to protect the players. And if he thinks that the guy with his foot up, studs up in the air, 2 foot off the ground, that's essentially absolutely, you know, ramrodded a guy's leg, then ultimately, the ends doesn't justify the means, because players can get injured in a variety of different ways, and we know that. There can be really terrible injuries that aren't a cause of foul play at all. But I think VAR's got a bit of a problem with it. I think we've created a bit of a problem with ourselves in this game with VAR making that kind of thing look terrible. Mm. But I honestly think that these days, the pace they move at, the strength they've got as with athletes, you see a professional footballer close up, they're massive and they're tough and they're quick and they're strong. And if you want to limit the amount of horrific injuries you get, you probably, whether you like it or not, going to have to stop that kind of thing happening. Mm. There are ways of clearing that ball that don't mean he has to do what he did. Mm. And I think for that reason alone, perhaps it's a fair one. Mm. Although I feel sorry for him. It's unfortunate. I feel sorry for everyone involved. But, you know, I'm not saying he did it on purpose or they want to hurt the guy. But, you know, ultimately, it is what it is, I think.
Poor old Marcus.
Poor old Marcus indeed. Yeah, poor old me as well, because I finished working at Wembley. I can't remember what time it was actually, but basically by the time I got to the pub, it was just starting extra time. Mm. So I, you know, saw the sending off.
Poor old me. Just next thing he says, I was in the pub.
Yeah. Well, wait.
Do your job or don't.
There's more to this.
Was the Vish fan club not there? Who was chanting your name in the pub?
Who's your boss? Is it Miguel Delaney? I'm going to speak to Miguel about that.
No, it's not Miguel. He may as well be, actually. But the well, you say that in the booze yesterday, two Football Ramble fans come over.
Oh, here we go. Hey, can happen. Go on.
one other came over and went...
Declan Rice and Calvin Phillips, was it?
Yeah. One came over and went, what's Jim Campbell like?
Well, wait, one came over. They're like, oh, I don't really listen to the Football Ramble.
Oh, right, cheers.
I was like, okay, great. And I was like, where's this going to go? He was like, love Wrestle Me, though. Another Stack production. Yeah. Fair dudes. He's like, Pete's a lunatic, isn't he? I'm like, yes,
they always
he
ask
is.
About Pete. The best one ever is the Pete Donaldson one, where apparently someone came up to him about 6 months ago and went, Pete Donaldson? And he went, didn't you used to be on the Football Ramble? Classic. But anyway, what do we think about Ukraine playing England? Presumably, because the tiredness factor and the fact that Ukraine simply are not as good as England, that is probably that's a fact.
Yeah, so before anybody starts saying, oh, typical arrogant English, the fact of the matter is England are now favourites for that game. Mm. That is why some people think England will win the game. Mm. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, England are obviously on the road this time. They travel to Rome. But everyone else has had to travel, so, you know, it's not exactly, you know, Papua New Guinea or somewhere really far flung. And if it was, it would be the same for both teams. They won't have the rain to cool them down, certainly. But it's an interesting game, and this is where you've got to keep your focus. And England did this very well in 2018 when they played Sweden in the quarterfinal.
I don't remember anything about that game because it was such a professional job.
It was 2-0. Pickford did make a couple of handy saves, of course, but England have to knuckle down, and they have to be careful because Shevchenko... will go into to his players and go, look at these scenes at Wembley. Look at those players doing a lap of honour around the pitch. Look at what they're saying. Yeah. They think they're already through here, lads.
I'm playing myself.
I'm coming on. I'm coming on. He'll start shouting. But he will do.
Rebrov?
Yeah, what are you up to?
One last job.
The old slag. Danny Glover and Mel Gibson up front.
But they will. And that will motivate those players in the same way it did Croatia in 2018. Now, obviously, a little bit different Croatia, you would say, in 2018 were better than this Ukraine side. But they're there. And getting a last-minute winner in such fashion will give them an enormous boost. Yarmolenko's got the captain's armband, and he's been enjoying it. Obviously, we know a bit about him. And Zinchenko, with a great goal, a great strike. I mean, keeper might be disappointed didn't save it, but the power takes that and a wonderful assist. You think, again, these are the obvious player
names.
They've
got players that can hurt you. Though,
exactly, yeah. They play in a 3-5-2. Now, do England then go, well, okay, 3-4-3, we'll match the wing-backs, or do England go, no, do you know what, we'll impose our game on them? It's a decision for Southgate to make. Will players be a bit tired, running on empty? Is there the odd little injury, little niggle and so on? It's a fascinating game.
What I like about England is they're seeing the opponent and they're going... this is the best way to play against this opponent.
Yes, and England,
they won't be afraid to change it.
And England have not done that in the past. And I don't think, as England fans, we often think it's got to be the same formation and the same personnel. Yeah. People always say, who's starting for you? Well, which game?
Yeah. And who's playing? Who are you playing next? Playing them. Lampard and Gerrard it is.
Absolutely.
Who are you playing that? Them. Lampard and Gerrard
run,
it is.
Run them off the road. Foden, Mount, Grealish, Ray Winston, Idris Elba, Jim Davidson, the Queen.
Whoa.
Fucking up there.
Jim Davidson's a Scotland fan and a massive prick. So he's getting nowhere near the side.
How have you got Jim Davidson on this show?
Yeah.
Get him on. Get them all on. Charge is what I'm saying.
Shout!
What do you think of the game, Vish? What do you think is going to work? How's it going to transpire?
I think it will be quite interesting because a lot of the build-up will naturally focus on Yarmolenko and Zinchenko, not least because I think Zinchenko's performances in midfield have been, you know, quite startling, actually. Just bloody Man City and their dexterous players, of which, obviously,
we've got a few
are benefiting
own.
From. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm quite interested to see how it flips by England being comfortable favourites and the jeopardy of a quarter final. And it'd be quite interesting to see how Southgate squares this. And certainly what the players do as well. Because I wouldn't say they're getting ahead of themselves with the lap of honour yesterday, but it felt like such a release that it would only be natural to, I suppose, drop your guard a bit, you know.
Well, I said it about Scotland, and I've got to say it about England. I said the biggest fear for Scotland going into that Croatia game is whether they can lift themselves again.
Yeah,
and they weren't able to, and then there might be other reasons for that. Croatia are a good team. It's the same here. England have to maintain professionalism here. They have to. And Southgate said it. It's interesting. I thought the first thing he said, and Declan Rice said the same thing. There's no point beating Germany if you're not going to follow up with a win against Ukraine. Mm-hmm. No, who cares that you got to the quarterfinal?
Yeah, exactly.
The chance you've been given.
Declan Rice, who was conducting Sweet Caroline last night.
Yeah, but I think
no, I agree.
You can enjoy a moment,
yeah, 100%,
and then you can park it to one side. Right, and I would say to them, look, with the comments that a lot of them gave, because obviously the media these days is insane, the comments a lot of them gave after the game, I was actually very happy with. Mm. And I think it's perfectly acceptable to say, enjoy the fucking evening.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then park it. Tomorrow's another working day. Off we go again. If they're doing that, then I think it'll be absolutely fine because I think they're better than Ukraine. And I think Ukraine are in a far worse state in terms of fitness. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a huge part of it. And then obviously you move on to the next game and see where you are.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And I think that's it, that you don't want to go because it'll be a massive disappointment if England now
I can't see this team not. I can say they could get beaten because that's football.
And it's a game of football. Yeah,
yeah, but I can't see them not
applying themselves
and attacking the game properly. Mm-hmm. If they get beaten, they get beaten. But I don't think it'll be because they've overlooked it.
And I think also at Wembley as well, you know, the crowd were phenomenal yesterday. And for those players as well, they've lived through this COVID nonsense.
A lot of their families were there yesterday as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
It's really noticeable, more so than any other game I've been to, actually.
They've lived through this bloody pandemic. We've all suffered some way more than others, of course, and I understand that. But to have the fans there, I think, and also as well, I think they probably think, you lot have come out in your numbers.
Yes.
You've paid money.
Spot on.
There is a pandemic on, so there is an element of risk going to a football match. You know, you've done all that for us. The least we can do is not just go, right, yeah, cheers, and walk down the tunnel and go, well, hang on, we've got another game. Have a little moment to acknowledge that.
You don't want to go full Roy Keane. You know what I mean?
Never, in any circumstance.
He's got something to offer, but don't go full Roy Keane.
Yeah.
Fish, do you have any fear that there's a chance that they could be hothouse flowers, England? They've played at Wembley the whole time and they go away from the Wembley and they don't know how to deal with it, or do you think that's just looking for problems that aren't there?
Well, that was going to be my next point, actually. It was the fact that obviously they're now going to play this game in Rome. They're going to be away from Wembley. The issue around travel for fans is quite pronounced. I know for journalists in particular, we've got to jump through a few hoops to get there. So it'd be interesting. I think there's enough good feeling there to, I suppose, take with them, you know,
I think if you're thinking, oh, we don't get to play at Wembley, you know, oh, blimey, there's going to be no fans. It's kind of like, come on.
I'm not happy about it. I think we should complain.
I think we should very much complain. But as I say, it's the same for Ukraine. You know, you wouldn't have thought that it would be packed full of Ukraine fans, you know.
Yes,
I mean,
so
it'll be the same for both sides, and as you say, England will be favourites. But there we are, gentlemen. We have to wait till Saturday night.
We will.
Saturday night.
I just like the fact that England, it's like a boxing analogy. England are winning by not getting hit.
Yeah,
that gives you a much longer boxing career than an Arturo Gatti type fighter, where you hit him and he hits you back, and who knows what happens. Just don't get hit. You'll be okay.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. If you're enjoying these football rambles, then get over to the reviews section on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
What a way to celebrate a great England win. Give us a 5-star.
Give us an England 5-star.
Yeah.
If you want to be patriotic.
The official show of the England win yesterday.
Yeah.
back us up by giving us 5 stars.
And that 5 stars.
You may as well have booed the knee if you don't give us 5 stars. Yeah.
And that 5 stars, it also counts for Billy Gilmore.
Yeah.
For Aaron Ramsey. Yeah. Or wherever you're from.
You get away with that Scottish Cup comment that Vish made earlier because there'll be absolutely zero Scottish fans listening to this.
It was the emailer. It was the emailer.
Oh, true. Well, it's just, he's the one that got through.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, but we bloody love you for that. So thanks very much. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Andy, and Pete will be in your ears.
What a combo.
What a combo.
Pete and Andy, back again.
Back again.
Dogs eating carrots. Volkswagen's being flipped over. All sorts going on.
That'll do.
Don't miss it.
There we are. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vitujan Hantaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, England. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.